Well, I'm already doing it. Are you really doing a plan for your life, or are you just kind of living a life? How many people are just existing? You know, you think about that. Are you really living life and grabbing it? I mean, carpe diem, you know? Dead Poet Society, seize the day. Suck all the marrow out of life that you can. Grab a hold of it. Grab the bull by the horns. Or like when we were in Guatemala on our mission trip and two of our adult leaders decided they wanted to slap the bull. And I said, I've got to videotape that, and I do have the tape of that. It was awesome. I said, what are you guys doing? They said, there's a bull. It's just free ranging. I said, so what are you doing? We're going to slap it. I went, there's a bull. Must say, slap me. That's living life, though. You know what? Why not? Why not live life? Why not? Oh, the places you're going to go if you live life as opposed to simply existing. So I've been reading a lot of interesting things lately, some Einstein and some Socrates about existence and just the connection of everything, and my brain hurts, so I turned this week to one of my favorite philosophers, Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss today has probably the greatest advice for not just our graduates, but for us about, oh, the places you'll go. How many of you have heard that poem? Okay. He says, congratulations, today is your day, you're off to great places, you're off and away. You have brains in your head and feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction that you choose, and you're on your own, and you know what you know, and you are the only one to decide where to go. Oh, the places that you'll go. Oh, the places. See, Jeremiah 29 says, into this, it's a frightening place, but right in this void of, what are you going to do with your life? I don't know. Some of you are in that place. How many of you know that some of you can be in that place and go, honestly, I don't know what I'm going to do. Situations hit us, and we're trying to figure out our finances, our lives, our futures. And can I show you something beautiful? Into this void, God speaks to Jeremiah, and he says in verse 11, I know the plans I have for you. Will you read these next three words with me, church? Will you help me on these three words? Declares. Let's say that again. I know the plans I have for you today. Declares the Lord. God declares, I know. I know the plans for you. For you. Young lady, God knows. He has a plan for you. How can he have a plan for me? My plans aren't. No, he has a plan for you. The assistant pastor, what are you going to do with your life? God has a plan, and you may not know that plan. You're saying, well, I think I got some things figured out. I kind of got some direction. Some of you are looking and going, I think I know. We just got married not too long ago. And you say, what are you going to do with your life? God says, I declare. I looked up the word declare in the dictionary. Not that I didn't know it, but I thought, what does it mean for God to declare the plans? And here's the definition of declare. He says, to say something in a strong and confident way. Are you ready for this? God confidently says, I have this covered. Where you say, I don't know what's going to happen, God says, I confidently know your life. Isn't that great? Another definition, I had to look up another one, so I went to Wikipedia, because that's got to be true. It's on the internet. So then I went to the collegiate dictionary and looked that up. And it said, to state something firmly and clearly. God can state for you over your life, I know the plans I have for you. You know what? I know it so clearly, Tom. I know exactly the plans. I saw Barb 2 years ago. And I knew you were going to marry. I knew it. It was so clear to me. I could say with confidence, I have a plan for you. And what a beautiful couple when you guys got married last Christmas or a couple Christmases seasons ago. And what an awesome life. Isn't it great? Oh, the places you'll go. And you discovered Facebook with your thing when you guys were down there in Florida. And you sent me all those pictures of you in the sun. Oh, the places you'll go. Take me with you. God has a plan, and he knows it, and it's clear, and it's absolutely decisive. God knows. So some of you may not know, and I'll be honest with you, as a pastor, talk about the unknown. God, where do you want me to go? Because here it is. Sometimes there's a few things in here. We love this. This is the second most Googled scripture in the Bible. You know what number one is? John 3:16, right? Because if football players can wear it, you know, underneath their eyes, and people hold it up in end zones, and it's just everywhere. Well, this is the second most Googled scripture. Interesting. But you know what? People don't look at what it said before that. And we have to look at before that because he says three things. And I can't give you the three R's because they're not R's, but I can give you the ABCs. And let's take a look at the A here for, oh, the places you'll go. In verse 4, here's our A. We need to adjust our attitude. God has a plan for us. We got to adjust our attitude. Some of us don't like going to these places. Look at it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. This is what he says. Say to those I carried into exile. Now that, I'm done. This is where most Christians say, Jesus, you lost me. Are you with me? Have I lost you right here? Because the first thing is this. Let me just say it this way. Get a life. God, give me a life. And we say, God, I trust you. This is the most dangerous thing you can do in church right here. Why? Because this says, God, I'm here. I surrender. Anytime, any place, anywhere, I'm yours. Can I tell you, be careful. If you pray that prayer, you have just prayed the most dangerous thing. And get ready, because here it comes. When you give God permission to use you, we all think, well, God's going to use me in a good way. See, the Googling of Jeremiah 29:11 is, oh, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to give you money and pay your bills and write your checks and make you healthy. And the minute you're sick, you're like, God, I am checking out. So here's the first one. We check out at the A. We don't even get to the B or the C, because at the attitude, we are done. It says, I carried you into exile. God took them to Baghdad. That's where Babylon is. Did you know that? Babylon is modern-day Baghdad. How would you like to say, God, I'll follow you? He says, good, pack your bags, we're going to Iraq. Most of you would say, this is where I check out, God. We need to adjust our attitudes. If we're going to say, oh, the places you'll go, imagine what God would do. Imagine if God would save the nation of Iraq because you and you alone went to Iraq. I'm going to say this as clear as I can. It only takes one man or one woman to save a nation. You take a message, obedient to God. If you are following God, God has a plan, and he declares it, and he knows it clear, and he's confident that he's going to accomplish it. But most of the time, we check out at 666. 666 is John 666. And if you've never read it, it's where Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's got... His church is booming like this. I mean, two services in the summertime that are packed, okay? He's got 5,000 people. They're everywhere. He's got bodyguards after church on Sunday. He goes down to meet and greet, and he's got Sons of Thunder, right? Steve, these guys are packed, and they are SWAT gear ready. James and John, Sons of Thunder, and they're like, you don't get near Jesus. Come on, Jesus. I mean, he's like a celebrity. And the crowds couldn't get to him. And Jesus turns to the crowd and says, hey, guys, let's just really adjust our attitudes. If you love me, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood, John chapter 6. He's talking about communion and his death and resurrection. These guys look at him and go, what? If you're going to follow me, you got to drink my blood and eat my flesh. It says in John 6:66, at that time, most of his disciples, not followers, disciples no longer followed him. They said, you know what? You had me at hello, but this is goodbye. I love you when things are good, but don't ever ask me to go to Babylon. See, what we want to do is we don't want our attitude adjusted. And God says, if you're going to follow me, oh, the places I'll take you. And God says, Mitch, I want you to go to Michigan. I'm going, where? And my first place was Croswell, not even Port Huron. I mean, Port Huron, right? We have winter time. I was living in Alabama. Where in February, they go, oh, it's cold, it's 60 degrees. In February, perfect golf weather. And God said, go to Michigan. I said, where? And they said, Croswell. I moved to Croswell because I raised my hand. Just remember, if you raise your hand, the teacher will call on you. I raised my hand, and God said, go to Croswell. I had to look it up on the map. It was not on the map. There was a signpost. And it said, end of the world, 5 miles, Croswell, 8. Remember that old sign that we found? And I went, I have to have that. I need a t-shirt. I live 3 miles past the end of the world. I'm in Croswell. And I knew God was. It was like I had to have my attitude adjusted because I woke up one morning and I said to my wife, did it snow? She said, no. I said, but it's black. Did a volcano go off? She said, no. I said, oh, it's the sugar beet factory. If you've never been to Croswell, I had to dust off an inch of soot from the smokestacks of making sugar. I'm glad sugar is sweet, but my car is not. I live in Babylon. And oh, the smell. Some of you have been there. I cannot believe they have a restaurant called McDonald's next door, and I don't know which one is worse. I'm just saying, the only thing lasting a nuclear holocaust are cockroaches and McNuggets. And you eat them, which means you're going to be preserved till the end of time. And you're going to keep your old body because even Jesus is going to have a hard time resurrecting that thing. I'm just telling you. What did he just say? Scratch that from the notes. I'm just saying, we've got to be careful here, folks, because God is going to call you the minute you raise your hand and say, here you go. And oh, Jeremiah says, this is what God says, I carried you. We don't want God to carry us into bad places. We want the good places. And I want you to know, here's what I learned from this. We need to make the most of our opportunities. Let me say it in a way you understand. Grow where you're planted. God has planted me and poured here on. And I'm going to just say this. I don't care that the winters are long. I don't care that you don't have a boat ramp out here this morning. I don't care that yesterday in the morning it was 85 degrees and sunny, and by afternoon the animals were gathered together two by two. Some of you are living your lives being blessed or cursed based on what's happening outside of you. Your internal needs to outweigh your external. Some of you are living your lives based on what's happening to you under the circumstances, and you need to, like a good airplane, when you see the storm, get above the clouds, get above your circumstances, get heavenly-minded instead of earthly dwelling. So what we need to do is say, God, here's the A, adjust my attitude. I am going to grow where I'm planted. And I said grow, and some of you are thinking, okay, that just means live where you live. No. Growing where you're planted means you're producing, you're living a life. Look what verse 5 says. Build houses. If I build a house, I'm not renting anymore. That means I'm going to stay in Port Huron. I bought a house. You cannot sell houses. Well, some of you can sell houses. Some of you are good salespersons. It's hard to move houses in the Port Huron area right now. If I build a house, God, I'm going to be there a long time. Yes, I know. I'm declaring. Wherever you're at, settle in for the long haul and make the most of it and grow in it. Look what he says then. Make gardens, eat, produce. And then he says in verse 6, marry and have sons and daughters. And we did. Four of them here in Michigan. Find wives for your sons. We are. And give your daughters in marriage. We are. So they too may have sons and daughters. If I didn't think that God had a plan for my life, I'm in big trouble because my kids are all marrying Michiganders. That means if I move away as a pastor, I have a long way to go. I have to come back and see you again. So I'm just staying. Because you know what? This is where God's called me. And you know what? No matter what the circumstances are, and I mean, there's some horrific things in our own backyard. My wife and I went to get dinner Friday night, and then we were reminded as we drove down Oak Street without realizing it, there's a prayer vigil and hundreds of people pouring their hearts out for that little girl who was killed, neglected, abused. And my wife and I there said, oh, let's pray right here. So we're kind of driving, and just our hearts were just overwhelmed. As we're driving around and the streets are shut down and balloons everywhere and people are praying and just pouring out their love. You know why? This is our community. And the question was, how does this happen? How does this happen? Because we live in Babylon. We live in a place where sin is affected. There is no Garden of Eden. That's going to be heaven again where there's no death, no tears, no sickness, no child abuse, no crack. God. We know that day's coming, but you know what? In the meantime, wherever I go, that's where I'm going to be. Because God, I raised my hand 30 years ago when I became a Christian, and I said, wherever you want, whenever you want, however you want, I'm going, God. And oh, the places you'll go. I have swam in the oceans of the Caribbean. I have ziplined in South America in the mountains of Belize. I have been to the top of Laramie Peak with youth changing the world. We have built schools in Nicaragua and Africa. Oh, the places you'll go. If you'll raise your hand, can I tell you something? Oh, the places you'll go. He took me to Oklahoma. Why in the world? He says, because I declare clearly and confidently, I know what I'm doing. I don't know a soul here. I don't know anything about this town. I know what I'm doing. And in about 5 weeks, you're going to meet the love of your life. I know what I'm doing. Oh, the places you'll go. And oh, my wife and I, we went to the South as missionaries in Alabama to save the lost. We went to Iowa, idiots out wandering around. Not my definition. They told me that's who they were. To the Field of Dreams. Oh, the places you go. God has taken me to build a youth center in the Mayak in 99% atheism behind communist Russia that built Prague and that whole area in Brno as their centerpiece of communism back in the Cold War. And we built the only youth center in all of Central Europe. Oh, the places you'll go if you'll just raise your hand. And it hasn't always been easy. Oh, the places you'll go. I have been in churches that would like to just eat and kill the wounded. I have been in places where people say things that shouldn't even come out of lips about human beings. I have buried loved ones that God chose not to raise up from their sickness. I have seen pain in my life. And oh, the places you'll go. But you know what? I trust him because he knows what he's doing. Seniors, let me just say to the seniors, he knows what he's doing. Seniors, he knows what he's doing. Because you know what the B is in this? The B is going to be found, excuse me, the B is going to be found in the next text. And it says this, the first one is attitude adjustment. The second one is be a blessing. Establish a beachhead of blessing. Look what it says. Seek peace. Now, these guys are in Baghdad. They're in Babylon. Seek peace and prosperity. I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it because look at this. If it prospers, you prosper. If you prosper, it prospers. That's like saying you're going to jail. Can I tell you something? While you're in jail, would you just be blessed and just be a blessing? You're going to prison. This is what it's saying. It says, wherever you're at, you can do this. Because this is so hard to do. Well, you don't know the government. I can't have a blessing in my life. I mean, if Obama were just, and people start getting real political, and if I get political, some people get very excited. All right, come on, Pastor. Yeah, bring it on. And other people are going, why is he getting political? Is he Republican? Is he Democratic? Is he Green Party? Is he this? Is he that? Here's what I am. I'm Jesus Party, okay? Whatever Jesus wants, that's what I'm. If it doesn't line up here, I'm not pulling the ballot. I don't care who it is, okay? I'm going to follow the Lord. But here it is. Wherever I go, you know, and I hear people say, you know what? There's going to be another election, and you're going to do. There are people. Listen, if you're from Grace, and you're walking around somewhere, and you say, Grace is my home, and how do you know Grace is your home? Because when someone says, who's your pastor? You don't go, it's that guy. Because people do that sometimes. I'll meet people. You go to church? Oh, all the time. What church you go to? The one place down the road there. What's your pastor's name? He's got hair, which kind of limits it. If you go to Grace and you're out somewhere and you're allowing the world to affect you and you're not being a beachhead of blessing, and you're just like, oh, the government, oh, the IRS, corrupt. Oh, the Tigers can't win. Or somebody pulls into your parking spot. You sat there at the mall, you turned your signal on, and you were waiting there for the longest time, and they finally back up, and someone with a license plate on the front and back of their car cuts you off. I'm just saying, somebody cuts you off, and then all of a sudden you wave that they're number one with one of your fingers. And somewhere on your bumper you have, follow me to church. Do not come to Grace. Go to the Baptist. Because here it is, people are going to say, you know what? They're no different than anybody else. You know what? They live their life circumstantially. It depends on how the wind blows. It determines on how their God goes. You know what? We need to move into a place where Jesus Christ is a beachhead. I know people go, oh, come on, Pastor. What do you think about the president? I think I pray for him. Okay? I think there's a lot of corruption where there's a lot of power and money, period. I don't know that I could even handle that kind of power. I wouldn't want that kind of power. All I know is a couple years ago, somebody came to me, you know, the president said, we are no longer a Christian nation. What do you think about that? I don't know. What should I think about that? Well, why would he say something like that? I said, I don't know. Maybe because we abort every 1.5 seconds a human being. Maybe because we can't even figure out what marriage is. Maybe we can't even decide that 86% of Americans claim to be born again Christians, and yet we can't even figure out that the Ten Commandments is something we live by. Maybe we are no longer a Christian nation, but I will say this, we are a nation of Christians, and they are everywhere. Okay? Well, and that's why I say get a beachhead, a beachhead. You got to be careful. We got to get a beachhead of blessing. Because if we're not careful, we're waiting for God to just kind of land on our country. Oh, God, just land on our country. Our kids can't pray anymore. That's not true. I have a beachhead of blessing. I have a place where the Holy Spirit can prosper wherever I go. And at 3713 Lowton Drive, I know that the Holy Spirit can bring his landing craft and put down onto my ground, because we may not be a Christian nation, but I am a nation of Christians. And at that address, Jesus Christ is welcome to land and invade this nation. And I don't know about you, does God have permission to set up a beachhead in your life? Well, we can't pray in school anymore. That's just not true. We have beachheads all over the nation. We have students who can pray anytime they want. And Jesus Christ is landing at lunchtimes, at gatherings, at Youth for Christ meetings. He's there all the time. Are we a one nation under God? At my address, we are. I am a one nation. I am a one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty. I fly my flag, I pray my prayers, and Jesus Christ is invading his beachhead. So I don't know about you, but I know this, that for me, I can be among an ungodly people in Babylon, and I can prosper. And you know what? Because Jesus Christ can land at my address, all of Wooded Twigs can be blessed because my wife and I live there, because our children live there. And I want my children to be a blessing, and I want my home to be a blessing. They're welcome to my house. We take cookies to neighbors. We go by. We pray for our neighborhood. I'll ride my bike with my praise and music going, and I'm praying through my neighborhood because there's a beachhead there. And my neighborhood, I want to prosper because Jesus Christ can land there. I don't know if my nation will prosper until my beachhead prospers. We keep praying for our nation. Why don't we pray for you? You are our nation. And when 86% of Christians finally allow the Holy Spirit to really live in their lives, maybe things will turn around. Okay? And oh, the places will go. Establish that. Establish that. Let me wrap this up this way. The last one is this in verses 8 and 9. I love this. This is what God says. Don't let prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Stop listening to them. Pastor, God told me that you're supposed to build a church right out here at this old ice arena. Stop listening to him. God told me to tell you you should get married. God told me to tell you you should do this with your life. God told me to tell you you should give me more money. God told me to tell you. Listen, if the word of God hasn't spoken to you, then God probably hasn't told you anything. We live in a nation where most people have the problem with the C. They have their A. They can get their attitude changed. Trust me, God will change your attitude. If he hasn't changed your attitude yet, he's working on you. And some of you are like Jonah. I ain't going to Nineveh. Some of you are on the first boat to Tarshish. God says, do this. And you're like, I'm buying a ticket over here. And you know what? Some of you, don't worry. Stay away from the water. He's got a fish for you. God will get you where he needs to get you if you don't adjust your attitude. The beachhead, I think that's between you and God. I think God's not going to force himself to come to your house and change your community. But the C is where we really struggle. And that's changing our compass. changing our compass. You know what? This is a lifestyle decision. Let me just finish this way. I was watching Pirates of the Caribbean. Is anybody relating to me? Because this is what the verse says. It says, don't be deceived. Everybody's telling you what you should do. And there's a guy on there, a main character. I can't think of the actor's name, but anyway. Johnny Depp, thank you. I figured somebody would have that. Johnny Depp's the main character, and he's Captain Jack Sparrow. And he's got this compass he carries around with him. The problem is, somebody gets a hold of it, and they go, this compass is broke. It's not broke. The compass is this. He says the compass will point to whoever's holding it, to whatever their heart desires the most. See, this is where I think we have the hardest. People say to me, I don't have time, Pastor. That's not true. That's just not true. You have a life. They haven't called me to come do your funeral. Smith's Funeral Home or Pollock, John Kendrick, he hasn't called me, so you're still alive. Well, I don't have time, Pastor. That's just not true. You will make time for what's important to you. I don't have time for anything. Oh, I love my softball league. I don't have time for anything. You want to golf at 6 in the morning, Pastor? 6 in the morning? It's supposed to be 70 degrees. Oh, I'm in. You want to go hunting? What time? Well, we got to get up before sunrise. Get out to the blind. Before sunrise. Okay. Hey, you guys want to pray with me here on Thursdays? Or Pastor Justin on Thursdays or Tuesdays? You guys want to get involved in... Hold on. What time? I don't have time, Pastor. Can I tell you something? Whatever your compass is set to, that is what you love the most. And you will find direction. Oh, the places it will take you. We find time for whatever we love the most. I raised my hand 30 years ago, and I find time for what I love the most. And I love talking and sharing Jesus. I love seeing people's lives change. I love baptizing new life. People coming up out of the lake and just going, I'm new in Christ. I love seeing young people worship. I love that men stand up and say, you know what, Pastor, today I'm going home and I'm going to stand up and say, honey, I love you and I'm going to ask your forgiveness. I haven't been leading as the man of this house, as the spiritual authority in this house. And I want you to know something. I'm going to pray for you every day, with you every day. Would you help me to be the leader in this home? I love doing that stuff. I love sharing that stuff. I love discipling people. I love going around the world. I love saying, God, where are we going next? Wherever your heart is going to take you. Where's my heart? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And you know what? You can't know it if you don't have your compass. And most Christians have no idea where their Bibles are. I know that because there's about 30 of them in my library that people have left here. I'm serious, and they have the names in them. How can I get anywhere without a compass? I have to have my compass. You know, there was a dad that said to his graduates, his son was graduating, and, you know, graduation, I hope you guys get some awesome, awesome stuff. I mean, I had friends that were getting, like, vacations. Several of them got cars for graduation. Cars. Are you hearing this, parents? Cars. If you love your kids, you will kick them out of your house. This dad was so excited, he bought his son a Bible. I got luggage, and it was packed. And my parents thought that was the funniest thing in the world. I didn't find that funny at all. True story, I got luggage for graduation. That's the true story. At my graduation party, I went, what? Are you saying something? He bought his son a Bible, and he said, son, I know your friends are getting a lot of things, but this is all you need in life. Trust me. Can you trust God? This is all you need in life, your compass. Man, you know how he did this? Thanks, Dad. That's a great gift. Wow, he bought me a Bible. He went off to college, and he stuck that Bible in. His dad would write him every week. Write him letters. Dear son, love you so much. How's school going? This is what's happening back home. Just want to keep you updated. I love you. I miss you. Hope studies are going well. And he'd end every letter, P.S. And he'd have a scripture, like Psalm 119. Thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light to thy path. Another letter would come a week later. Son, P.S. Romans 8:28. All things. And he would just give the reference. He wouldn't even write out what it was. And this just went on for weeks, and the son was just so angry. Oh, are you getting into the Word? The son was so angry with his Bible sitting there. Really, that's what you got me, Dad? I could use some money. I could use some help. I could use a car. Every week those letters came. One week it came, and there was Jeremiah 29:11. And he got that. And he was just so frustrated. He went over to his Bible, and he cracked it open. Jeremiah 29:11. He opened up that page, and taped inside of that page was a $100 bill. You hear that, Mom? A $100 bill. You know what he did? He went back, grabbed all those other letters. Romans 8, a $100 bill. Psalms, a $100 bill. Every time he's trying to encourage his son, everything you need, God's trying to show you. Look at what this scripture says. Let's bring up that last scripture in Isaiah 45. Look at this. Isn't this beautiful? I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places. Your Father loves you, and oh, the places you'll go, but it's dark. Oh, I'm going to give you riches in the secret dark places. Trust me, you're going to change the world. Oh, the places you'll go. Congratulations, today is your day. You're on to great places and you're on your way. You have brains in your head, you have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any way you choose. You'll look up and down certain streets, look them over with care, and about some you'll say, I don't want to go there. With your head full of brains and your shoes full of feet, you're too smart to go down any not so good street. Out there, things can happen and frequently do to people as brainy and as footsy as you. And things start to happen. Don't worry, don't stew, just go right along. You'll start happening too. Oh, the places you'll go. You'll be on your way up. You'll be seeing great sights. You'll join high flyers and soar the highest heights. You won't lag behind because you'll have speed. You'll pass the whole gang and soon you'll take the lead. Wherever you fly, you'll be the best. Wherever you go, you'll top the rest. Except when you don't, because sometimes you won't. I'm sorry to say, but it's sad and true that bang-ups and hang-ups are going to happen to you. You can't get all hung up, though, in a prickly perch, because your gang will fly on and you'll be left in a lurch. You'll come down from that lurch with an unpleasant bump, and the chances then, you're going to be in a slump. And when you're in a slump, you're not in for much fun. Unslumping yourself is not easily done. For people, no. That's not you. Oh, the places you'll go and the things that you will do. But many of those things you'll do alone. And alone is not something that's fun, but you'll be alone quite a lot, whether you like it or whether you do not. Alone is something. And when you're alone, there's a very good chance you'll meet things that scare you right out of your pants. There are some things down the road between hither and yon that can scare you so much you won't want to go on. But on and on you will go, though the weather be foul, and on you will go through your enemy's prowl. And on you will hike. And I don't know how far, and face up to your problems, whatever they are, but you will succeed. You will succeed. Yes, you will indeed. 98.75% guaranteed. Kids, you'll move mountains. And oh, the places you will go. So be your name Buxom or Bixby or Buzz or Bray or Mordecai Al Van Allen O'Shea. You're off to great places. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting. So let's get on our way. Let's stand together and pray. There's a love offering at the door to change the world as well for those who need a little help. You're welcome to give as you feel led. Let me pray for you. I don't know where you're at, but can I just encourage you?